We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in A Case for Paul Temple, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge. Episode 3, in which Sir Gilbert explains. Paul Temple, the celebrated novelist and private detective, is visited by an old friend, Sir Graham Forbes, the Chief Commissioner of Scotland Yard, and by a Major Peters, who is attached to the special branch of the Criminal Investigation Department. Sir Graham tells Temple that for the past 3 months...
For the past 3 months, Major Peters, Superintendent Weatherby and myself have been investigating a case known to us at Scotland Yard as the Granger Affair. 3 months ago, a girl called Leslie Granger committed suicide. There was an inquest, and it was discovered that Leslie Granger had been taking drugs. Cocaine. She'd been getting the cocaine, presumably, from a secret source, from a man or woman known to her quite simply as Valentine.
Valentine? Sir Graham, are you suggesting...
I'm suggesting that there exists in the West End of London at the present moment a secret organisation trafficking exclusively in dangerous drugs. Unless we can find...
Unless we can find this mysterious Mr. Valentine, there's going to be a new crime wave in this country. A crime wave quite without precedent.
Believe me, that's no exaggeration.
Early this evening, Superintendent Weatherby interviewed a young man called Charles Kelvin.
He's the husband of the girl that committed suicide this afternoon. As a matter of fact, he identified the body.
Yes, during the course of cross-examination, Kelvin admitted that his wife had been, well, difficult, highly strung, emotional. On 2 occasions, during an hysterical outburst, he remembers quite distinctly that she repeated the name Simon Lee.
Did the name have any particular significance, so far as Kelvin himself was concerned?
No, I'm afraid not. He's just as puzzled as we are.
During the course of the same evening, Temple received a telephone message from a mysterious girl who introduced herself as Sheila Baxter. Later, Paul Temple, together with Steve, his wife, visit Snooker Riley. Snooker, a strange, rather disreputable little cockney, informs Temple that a friend of his, a certain Captain O'Hara, is the skipper of the Simon Lee. The following evening, Temple is informed by O'Hara that...
2 months ago, just as I was on the point of leaving for Amsterdam, I received a telephone message from a man who called himself Sir Gilbert Dryden. He asked me to deliver a letter to a woman in Amsterdam. In return for the letter, I was to receive a parcel. I was told to bring the parcel back to England and to deliver it myself, personally, to an address in Bloomsbury. 479 Estonia Avenue.
But when Temple and Steve arrive at 479 Estonia Avenue, they discover, to their astonishment, the dead body of the real Captain O'Hara. Later the same night, after a visit to Delford Quarry with Sir Graham Forbes and Major Peters, Temple returns to his flat.
By Timothy, what a night. Good Lord, is it 1:15?
Yes.
You should have gone to bed, Steve.
Mary's making some coffee.
Yes, I know. By Timothy, I can use it.
Did you see Snooker Riley?
Yes, Steve.
What happened?
Well...
You'd rather not talk about it.
It isn't that, only...
What's going to happen, darling? About this business?
I'm going to catch Valentine. Hmm. Oh, Steve, I know how you feel about my... I wonder who that is.
I don't know. It's very late, darling.
Yes. It's all right. I'll take it. Hello?
Hello. Mr. Temple?
Yes?
I don't know whether you remember, Mr. Temple, but I telephoned you last night. My name is...
Oh, yes, I remember. Miss Baxter. Miss Sheila Baxter.
Mr. Temple, don't... Don't believe a word he tells you. It isn't true. It isn't true, any of it.
What do you mean? I say, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Dryden. Don't believe him, Mr. Temple. Please. Please don't believe him.
But how can I believe him? I haven't even... Hello? Hello? She's run off. Did you hear that?
Yes.
All of it?
I think so. But what does it mean, Paul? I just don't...
What is it, Mary?
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Temple, but this gentleman insisted
I'm
on...
I'm so sorry to intrude. May I come in? My name is Dryden. Sir Gilbert Dryden.
Oh. That's all right, Mary. You can close the door.
Very good, Mr. Temple.
You must forgive me for calling at this unearthly hour, Mr. Temple, but the matter is, I assure you, of some importance.
Indeed?
Since I don't suppose you've actually heard of me, Mr. Temple, I'd like to...
On the contrary, Sir Gilbert. I appear to be coming across your name with monotonous regularity.
What do you mean, sir?
I was thinking of your friend Captain O'Hara at 479 Estonia Avenue.
Captain O'Hara? 479 Estonia Avenue?
I take it you've never heard of Captain O'Hara.
I most certainly have not, sir. Mr. Temple, why do you think I came to see you this evening?
I don't know. Why did you come to see me, Sir Gilbert?
Because I'm worried. Desperately. Terribly worried. I need your help, Mr. Temple. I need your help, and if you...
If what?
If you do what I want, sir. If you'll do precisely what I want, I'll pay you £1,500.
£1,500? £1,500 is a lot of money, Sir Gilbert. What precisely would you like me to do for your £1,500?
You have a reputation, sir. One might almost say an international reputation as a private investigator. I want you to undertake certain private or highly confidential investigations.
What exactly would be the nature of these investigations?
Mr. Temple, many years ago, a friend of mine died and left an only child, a little girl. I adopted that child. I sent her to college, to finishing school. I gave her literally everything that money could buy. When she reached the age of 21, she decided that she wanted to open a beauty parlour in Brussels. I agreed to finance the proposition, and in the spring of 1933, she opened a tiny but quite exclusive little shop in the Rue Respoliers. I saw very little of her during the next 2 or 3 years, although we corresponded fairly frequently, and I continued to send her the usual monthly allowance. In 1938, rather to my surprise, she came to London and opened a beauty parlour in Mayfair. I was delighted by this move, because I thought, not unnaturally, that we should see quite a great deal of each other. Mm. But she'd changed, Mr. Temple. The gentle, quiet, rather unsophisticated child had changed. In her place, there was a strange, metallic kind of person. Well, don't misunderstand me. Outwardly, she was just the same, charming, attractive, but inwardly, something had happened.
Go on.
We went to the theatre together, we dined together, we appeared, as I say, outwardly, to be quite good friends. Then suddenly, about 12 months ago, I began to have my suspicions. I can't tell you how it happened or why it happened, but I began to suspect that she was mixed up in something. Something that was not quite, how can I put it, not quite above board.
What do you suspect, Sir Gilbert?
I suspect that she is the leader of an underground organization trafficking in dangerous drugs. I suspect that she is Valentine.
Valentine?
Her name?
Well, professionally, she's known as Madame de Briac, but...
Madame de Briac? But I know the shop. It's in Curzon Street.
Yes, but her real name is Sheila Baxter.
You offered me £1,500, Sir Gilbert.
I want you to discover whether my suspicions are justified or not. If what I suspect is true, and she is Valentine, then I should want you to give me your assurance, Mr. Temple, that before you placed your information at the disposal of the police, she...
She would have ample opportunity of leaving for, shall we say, South America.
You decline my offer?
Most decidedly.
Then there's nothing more to be said.
On the contrary, Sir Gilbert, on the contrary. Last night, during the course of certain investigations, I made the acquaintance of a man who called himself Captain O'Hara. Captain O'Hara informed me that he was the skipper of a cargo boat known as the Simon Lee. You've never heard of the Simon Lee, I take it?
I've already told you, sir. I've never heard of Captain O'Hara, so it's highly unlikely that I should have heard of the Simon
Lee. However, Captain O'Hara told me that 2 months ago he received a telephone message from you.
From me?
From you, sir. Asking him to deliver a letter to a woman in Amsterdam. In return for the letter, Captain O'Hara received a parcel which he delivered to an address in Bloomsbury. The address was 479 Estonia Avenue.
But this is absurd.
After our interesting chat with the so-called Captain O'Hara, My wife and I visited Estonia Avenue. Not only did we find the dead body of the real Captain O'Hara, but...
What?
But we found this letter. It was on the map just inside the hall.
What letter?
This letter. Addressed to Sir Gilbert Dryden.
Mr. Temple, I assure you, I've never heard of Captain O'Hara. I know nothing whatsoever about her house in Estonia Avenue. What does it say? What does the letter say?
It's addressed to you, Sir Gilbert.
Well, open it, sir. Open it. Well?
Read it for yourself.
The package you are expecting will arrive on the 22nd. Meet me, as arranged, on the houseboat. I shall be there by 11. Valentine.
The 22nd? That's tomorrow.
No, today, darling. It's after midnight.
But what houseboat? What does he mean by package that you're expecting? I'm not expecting a package. Mr. Temple, what does it all mean?
Sir Gilbert, tell me. Did you write to Scotland Yard about a man called Snooker Riley?
Why, no. I've never heard of a man called Snooker Riley.
I see. Would you like me to give you a piece of advice? Oh. Forget that you ever seen or even heard of this letter and just wait.
Wait? But supposing my suspicions about Sheila are true...
If your suspicions about Madame de Briac are true, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yes, perhaps you're right. But you know, Mr. Temple, I'm not so sure that you haven't put rather a different complexion on things. In view of what you've told me tonight, in view of your most extraordinary story about the mysterious Captain O'Hara and the house in Estonia Avenue, I feel...
Yes?
I feel that I might perhaps have been a little hasty in jumping to conclusions about Sheila.
In short, you're no longer convinced that she's Valentine.
Well, I'm certainly beginning to think that there are other possibilities. You see, whoever Valentine is, he or she, of course, is obviously intent upon throwing suspicion onto...
Onto yourself.
Yes. And Sheila wouldn't do that. She's changed, I know. Changed in 101 ways, but I'm sure she wouldn't do that.
Well, you have my assurance that this interview will be treated in the strictest confidence, Sir Gilbert.
Thank you, sir. Well, good night, Mrs. Temple. I hope that we shall meet again under slightly pleasanter circumstances.
I hope so too, Sir Gilbert.
There's no need to show me out, Mr. Temple. I expect I shall be able to find my own way.
Well, what do you think of Sir Gilbert Dryden?
I think I'd like to have another look at him.
What do you mean?
Put the light out and come over to the window.
There he goes, darling.
Yes.
It's an awfully nice car, isn't it?
Yes.
What are you looking at?
I'm just looking at that car over on the other side of the road. It looks to me as if... Mm. Yes, I thought so. He's been waiting for him. Look, he's going to tail him.
Who is it? Can you see?
No, can you?
It's a man, darling. But I can't see what he looks like.
What's the number?
I think it's GMT678.
Yes, GMT678.
Can you trace it?
Yes, that ought to be simple. I'll have a word with Superintendent Weatherby in the morning.
Draw the curtains, darling.
Well... I don't know about you, but I'm ready for bed. Your hair doesn't look so good tonight, darling.
What's the matter with it?
Oh, I don't know. It just doesn't look so good.
It could do with a perm, I suppose.
Yes, I should get it done in the morning.
Darling, you can't get it done in 5 minutes. You've got to make an appointment.
Well, make an appointment.
At Madame de Briac's. I can read you like a book.
That's because I'm a plain type, my sweet.
Good morning. I have an appointment for a permanent wave.
What name, madam?
Temple. Mrs. Temple. It was a cancellation for 11:30.
Oh, yes, I remember, madam, of course. Please excuse me.
Shan't keep you a moment, madam. Mrs. Temple is here, Madame de Briac. Yeah, she just arrived. Very good, madame. Madame de Briac will be down in a moment, Mrs. Temple, if you don't mind taking a seat.
Thank you.
Isn't the weather wretched for the time of year? Mm. Still, I suppose one mustn't grumble, must one?
I suppose one mustn't.
Ah, here's Madame de Briac.
Good morning. Mrs. Temple?
Yes.
My name is Madame de Briac. I don't think we've had the pleasure
of... No, your name was mentioned to me by Edith Carstairs, and I thought...
Ah, yes, Mrs. Carstairs. She's quite an old friend of ours. Would you mind stepping this way, Mrs. Temple?
Thank you.
Carol, tell Charles I'd like to see him in my office.
Certainly, madame.
Here we are, Mrs. Temple. Do sit down.
What a lovely office.
Oh, yes. I brought a lot of the stuff over from the continent with me when... No, sit over here, Mrs. Temple, near the window.
Oh, thank you.
Mrs. Carstairs told me to ask for André, but...
I'm afraid André's on leave just at the moment. But we've got a new man who is really most awfully good.
Will you have a cigarette?
Not just at the moment, thank you.
I thought perhaps it might be quite a good idea if we had a little chat, Mrs. Temple,
I take it my telephone call this morning was not entirely unexpected.
Well, quite frankly, no. I thought something like this might happen, especially after your visit last night from Sir Gilbert. You don't have to have a permanent wave, Mrs. Temple, if you don't want one.
My husband would never forgive me if I didn't have one.
But that's not why you came to see me.
Not entirely.
I've behaved rather stupidly over this business. I don't know why I didn't ring your husband up and talk to him quite frankly about the whole affair, but... Mrs. Temple, I don't know what Sir Gilbert told your husband last night, but please, please, whatever it was, ask Mr. Temple to remember that there are always two sides to every story.
That's why I'm here this morning, Madame de Briac, to hear your side of the story.
When I was a child, my parents died as a result of a motor car accident, and I was adopted by Sir Gilbert Dryden. I expect he told you that.
Yes.
In those days, Sir Gilbert was sweet and kind and generous. I really can't speak too highly, Mrs. Temple, of the 101 things he did for me. When I left finishing school, I expressed a wish to open a beauty parlour in Brussels. I had a great many friends in that city, and I felt reasonably confident of making a success of the venture. But Sir Gilbert objected. At first, I couldn't quite see why he objected. And then suddenly, one morning, he told me that he wanted me to be his wife. I was amazed. Well, not only amazed, but completely bewildered. I'd always been fond of Sir Gilbert, of course, but I'd never, in my wildest dreams, contemplated the possibility of ever becoming his wife. 2 weeks later, I left for Brussels.
Go on.
During my stay in Brussels, I received several letters from Sir Gilbert in which he repeated the offer he had made. I made a success of my business, and in 1938 I came to England. I was over here several weeks before I actually saw Sir Gilbert, and then he invited me to his house. Once again he proposed, and I turned him down. But this time, Mrs. Temple, there was a change in his attitude towards me, I mean. He'd always been so kind, so gentle. But now, he was arrogant, self-assertive, at times almost threatening. He told me quite frankly that no matter how many times I might turn him down, he intended ultimately to have his own way. About 3 nights ago, I visited his house again. When I arrived, Sir Gilbert was in the study. Rather to my surprise, he was talking to a strange, rather unkempt little man he called Snooker Riley.
Snooker Riley?
I overheard part of their conversation. I heard Sir Gilbert make arrangements about the revolver that was to be placed in your bedroom and connected to the electric current. Mm. I was bewildered. I didn't know what to do. I was utterly and completely bewildered. Later, during the night, I made up my mind that the best thing I could do was to telephone your husband.
Go on.
Last night, I saw Sir Gilbert again. And he told me that if I didn't accept his proposal of marriage, he had every intention of contacting either the police or your husband, and...
informing them that you were the leader of an organization trafficking in drugs?
Yes.
Do you think Sir Gilbert is the leader of that organization?
What organization? I don't know, Mrs. Temple. I don't know. I just don't know anything about that sort of thing. Why Sir Gilbert should suddenly take it into his head to mix with men like Snooker Riley, I don't know. I just don't know.
Is Sir Gilbert a wealthy man?
Well, yes, I've always thought so. He's not a millionaire, of course, but he's quite well off. Mrs. Temple, I know my story doesn't sound very plausible, but I assure you, it's the truth.
Thank you, Madame de Briac. I'll tell my husband everything that...
Please, please, not Madame de Briac. Sheila Baxter. Madame de Briac is merely a professional name.
All right, Miss Baxter. I'll tell my husband your side of the story.
Thank you, Mrs. Temple. And now, if you really would like that permanent wave, I'll... Ah, come in, Charles.
You sent for me, madame?
Yes. Charles, this is Mrs. Temple. I want you to...
We meet again, Mr. Kelvin.
It would seem like it, madame.
You know each other?
Yes. I met Mr. Kelvin.
I frequently had the pleasure of attending to Mrs. Temple, madame, when I was at Armand's.
Oh. Oh, I see.
This way, madame.
Yes, Peters, what is it?
Mr. Temple is here, Sir Graham.
Oh, good. Ask him in, Peters.
Mr. Temple.
Thank you. Hello, Sir Graham.
Ah, come in, Temple. I've been expecting you.
You look very spruce, Major. Where are you off to? Is it your night out?
Well, officially, Mr. Temple, it's supposed to be my day off, but...
No rest for the wicked, Peters.
Nor those who tried to catch him either, by the look of things, sir.
There's a very good detective film at the Empire, Major.
Hmm. Well, if it's all the same to you, sir, I'll take Hedy Lamarr. Good night, sir.
Good night, Peters.
Good night, Mr. Temple.
Good night, Major.
Well, are you ready, Temple?
Yes, I'm ready. You haven't told anyone about this little expedition, have you, Sir Graham?
Not a soul. Sergeant Donovan's taking us. We'll give him his instructions once we get started.
Good.
What exactly did the letter say, Temple?
Well, it was addressed, or rather was apparently addressed, to Sir Gilbert, and it said... Meet me as arranged at the houseboat. I shall be there by 11, Valentine.
Of course, we don't know for certain that it's Snooker Riley's houseboat. And
we don't know anything for certain, Sir Graham. We've just got to take a chance on it.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I've brought you the Kelvin report.
You'll put it on the desk, Weatherby.
Evening, Mr. Temple.
Good evening, Superintendent. As a matter of fact, you're just the man I want to see.
Yes, sir?
I want you to do a little job for me, if you will. I want you to trace a car, find out who it belongs to. It's a small black car, two-seater, I'm not sure of the make. Registration number GMT-678.
Certainly, Mr. Temple, I'll... GMT-678?
That's right.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Well, that won't take very long.
What do you mean?
It's my car.
Your car?
Yes.
Were you out in it last night, Superintendent?
No. No, as a matter of fact, I lent it to Major Peters.
Oh, I see.
That's funny. That's damn funny. My car.
Yes. The joke's on me, Superintendent. At least, I think it is.
Are you ready, Temple?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I'm ready, Sir Graham. Good night, Weatherby.
Good night, sir.
Been out here once before this week, haven't you, Temple?
Yes. Steve and I came out two or three nights ago. It was the night that girl disappeared, Sir Graham. You remember?
Oh, yes, yes. Weatherby told me all about it.
There's the houseboat, sir. Over to the starboard.
Where? Oh, yes. Pull alongside her, Sergeant, and make as little noise as possible.
Very good, sir. Of course, Snooker isn't in there, you know, sir. They found poor
yes,
old Snooker.
Yes, we know,
Take it
sir.
Quietly. Take it quietly, Sergeant.
Very good, sir.
Doesn't appear to be anyone on board, Temple.
No.
time do you make it?
It's about 10 to 11.
Oh, well, we're all right. We're just in nice time.
What would you like me to do, sir? Would you like me to wait or cruise around for 5 or 10 minutes?
Cruise around, Sergeant, but don't keep too near the houseboat.
Very good, sir.
Steady, Temple.
Yeah, okay. Just give me a hand, Sir Graham. Watch your step.
Exactly the Ritz, is it?
Balling.
Just look at the place.
I must have left the cabin like this the night it...
What is it?
I thought I heard something.
No, I don't think so, Temple.
It looks as if snooker existed exclusively on a diet of sardines.
Yes. It doesn't seem to have been very clever at opening tins either. What the deuce is that supposed to be? Don't tell me that's where the poor devil slept.
Yes. Although I believe in the summer he used to... Did you hear it?
No.
Now, do you hear it?
Yes.
Stand over there, Sir Graham, near the door.
Now, watch him, Temple.
Listen.
Whoever he is, he's on his own.
It sounds like it. Here he comes.
Shh. Don't move! Stand where you are!
Why? Sir Graham! Mr. Temple!
Good evening, Major Peters.
You have been listening to the third episode of A Case for Paul Temple, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Garda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Richard Greenwood, Melody Grove, Eliza Langland, Robin Lang, Michael McKenzie, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.